Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
And welcome to this podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. For those of you that may not know, our mission at St. Andrew's is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And to this end, we believe our podcasts are a new format to helping us all grow as disciples of Jesus, and it helps others become disciples of Jesus too. So we're really excited about that. Last Sunday was the greatest Sunday that we celebrate each year. It is my favorite day of the year. We gathered to sing and hear God's word proclaimed and worship the resurrected Lord. Jesus died for our sins, and then he did raise victoriously over the grave. And so for many followers of Jesus, the idea of the resurrection is not something that's ever questioned. However, historically, it's hard to believe, people have questioned whether or not Jesus physically rose from the dead. I am Pastor Stephanie Greenwald, and today we are going to examine some of those resurrection theories. And in studio with me today, I'm always honored and privileged to have my friend, Pastor D.A. Bennett. How are you doing today?
Hello, Stephanie. It is always good. We're having so much fun doing these podcasts,
yes.
And we pray it is a blessing for those of you that are listening. But I'm doing well today. I can see
good.
That you're doing well, too.
Yes, having a great day. It's been a good day, and it's about to get even better.
All right.
Okay, so D.A., tell us your thoughts about people questioning the resurrection of Jesus.
One of the things that I know is sometimes when people question things about our faith, we feel like that person is bad and evil and blasphemous. And really, we should never we should not fear anybody questioning the validity of the statements made by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You may recall this past year when we taught the class on world religions, sometimes we shook our heads in disbelief at what people were willing to believe.
Yeah.
And that's what we should know, is there are those outside the Christian faith that do that to us. So if we believe that our faith is well-grounded, we don't need to be afraid to give a critical examination of our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
People have done this ever since Jesus rose from the grave, so what we're doing today is not really plowing any new ground at all. But I think we'll discover the evidence speaks in a way to give historical affirmation to the key event on which our faith is grounded.
Mm-hmm. So good. So what are some sources that we will use to help prove the resurrection?
Okay, that's a great question. Obviously, the starting point for us is always Scripture.
Right.
You know, what does the Bible say? Each of the four gospel writers record the events of the resurrections, and then the writings of the apostles after the resurrection in the early church also discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we use history. The ancient historian Josephus writes of Jesus' resurrection, and we know from other sources about the Roman government and what they said, and it helps us to verify that. So primarily we're using Scripture and historical writings.
Okay, very good. Okay, so let's jump in. I'm excited to hear about these different theories, as I'm sure our listeners are as well. The first theory of the resurrection is that Jesus' disciples stole his body, and then they claimed that he rose from the dead. So what evidence is there to falsify this theory?
Right. We read about this theory in the Gospel of Matthew, and if we take Matthew's gospel not just as a gospel writing but as a historical document, then the claim is that the Jewish leaders that wanted Jesus dead paid the Roman soldiers to say that the disciples stole the body. But there are some problems associated with believing that this stolen body theory really could have happened. For example, first, these Roman soldiers, first and foremost, were posted outside the tomb, and they would have guarded it with their lives.
Right.
For somebody to steal the body would have been death for them. And so for the disciples to steal Jesus' body, the first thing that they would have to do is to overpower this detachment of the strongest fighting men of this era. And we don't really see a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors as soldiers of fortune. And so the 11 disciples were not likely to develop a plan to fight against them in just a few days. I mean, given enough time, perhaps they could have, but not just in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then mostly, we also know that the 11 were afraid that they were going to be the next to die.
Right.
So it's not likely they would have the skill, the organization, or even the courage to take on this detachment of the most fierce soldiers in history. And even if the soldiers were asleep, and they were trying to sneak around him. Right. Moving that stone likely would have garnered quite a bit of attention.
Right.
So next we have to consider that the women went to the tomb. That's, again, what they tell us. The women got up early while it was still dark and went to the tomb. Mm-hmm. And their question was, who's going to move the stone covering of the grave? Mm-hmm. They didn't think that they had enough physical strength, so perhaps they hoped that the soldiers were going to offer to help them move it so that they could do what they were there to do. Mm-hmm. But when they arrived, the stone had already been moved. There was no evidence of a struggle. The soldiers were gone. Mm-hmm. And again, the other 11 at this point didn't even know the stone had been moved either. Mm-hmm. And then the third piece of evidence that I want to point to is the grave clothes. Now, if someone had stolen the body of Jesus, why would they have unwrapped it and taken off the grave clothes? I mean, their purposes would be better served taking as it is, kind of like a smash and grab car theft. You just, you know, move that stone, get him out of there. But even if they did unwrap the body of Jesus, they would have been in a hurry to leave, and the record is clear. Mm-hmm. The grave clothes were neatly folded. So I don't think there's much validity to the stolen body theory.
That's so good. Yes, definitely a lot of solid evidence against that theory. So the next theory is called the swoon theory.
I love that.
Yes, we do. Or the resuscitation theory. So the idea is that Jesus didn't really die, but the combination of the events of his passion caused him to lapse into a state where they found no vital signs, but maybe was still alive. Thinking Jesus was dead, he was placed in the tomb where the damp, cool air would have revived him from this near-death experience. So tell us about the swoon theory.
Okay. I just, you know, I love the swoon theory. It's simply fun to say, and it's fun to think about. Pardon me, but the evidence is clearly overwhelming that this could not have happened. In our last podcast, we went over the details of Jesus' passion, and we agreed that it is amazing to think that Jesus survived the scourging, mm-hmm. but when you add crucifixion on top of the scourging, Jesus was dead. Mm-hmm. They stabbed him with the spear to test to see if there's any life in him, and Jesus was clearly dead. Mm-hmm. Let's keep in mind, again, the Romans were expert executioners.
Right.
They knew how to kill people, mm-hmm. and they knew when people were dead. They examined Jesus on the cross, and they didn't break his legs like they did the other two thieves mm-hmm. to help Jesus die faster because there was no life left in his body. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the Jewish leaders really wanted Jesus dead. They were present at the crucifixion, and they would not have let the Romans declare him dead without having their own agenda satisfied.
Right.
They would have been saying, you know, y'all are absolutely 100% certain he's dead. So the Romans would have made sure he was dead. The Jewish leaders would have wanted to make sure he's dead. But again, let's bring in the evidence of the grave clothes. Mm-hmm. Jesus would have been wrapped very tightly. Mm. It would have made him easier to move if they wrapped him before they put him in the grave. Mm. And if he had only been close to death when he was taken off the cross, it would have been nearly suffocating for him to be wrapped in the grave clothes. I mean, he would have been like a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he's revived 3 days later, he's got to escape this mummified kind of wrapping,
right?
And then he's got to find the strength to move a stone that a group of women could not have moved by themselves. So the swoon theory just holds no weight.
Doesn't hold up, does it? Exactly. So the third theory is, again, a very unusual thing. It's called the hallucination theory. So according to this theory, Jesus died and did not rise from the dead. Instead, people who were heartbroken and grief-stricken did not really see Jesus after his death. It was all a hallucination of their desire to see him alive again.
Okay, so the first time I ever heard about this theory was when I was in college,
uh-huh.
and I remember our New Testament professor adding to this that maybe the disciples had gotten into some bad mushrooms that were like a psychedelic drug that caused hallucinations. It certainly sounded more like the 1960s, you know, a theory that came up then than it did in, you know, ancient times.
Right.
But bad mushrooms aside, for this to happen, there would have been some very difficult obstacles to overcome mm-hmm. for it to be proven true. To begin with, the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus mm-hmm. happened to multiple people in different places, under different circumstances, over different times. So to get all those things to line up would not have been easy.
No.
So first he appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden outside the tomb. Jesus appears later to the disciples who were in a locked room.
Mm-hmm.
Later, he appeared to two men walking on the road to Emmaus, a nearby city.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul later records that Jesus appeared to over 500 people at once. That's a lot of mushrooms going bad to have any hallucination by all those people in all those places at all those times. But 500 people at one time is good evidence that they really did see Jesus.
Yeah.
And the disciples, I mean, they were geared to believe Jesus was dead.
Right.
They saw him on more than one occasion in more than one place. People other than the 11 saw him, so there's not really much support, again, of this hallucination. That's way out there.
That is way out there. You're so right. So if they were not hallucinating, what if it was someone else?
Yeah.
What if Jesus was this this guy that, you know, had an impersonator? That would either mean someone that looked like Jesus was crucified or someone who looked like Jesus filled his role as a resurrected person.
Yeah, did Jesus have a doppelganger hanging around ancient Israel? Okay, so let's call this theory the impersonation theory. And such a claim, again, it's worth examination. Could somebody have really been impersonating Jesus? One of the things that I think the Bible shares is that when they first saw Jesus after the resurrection, they did not readily recognize him. In fact, we have stories like that before Jesus is crucified, when he's walking on the water. You know, is that a ghost?
Right.
They didn't always recognize him from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
But John records the story when the apostles were fishing, and it says, while they may not have recognized him from a distance, when they did recognize him, they immediately went to be with him. Now, the disciples had traveled with Jesus for the better part of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're with anyone for 3 years, you're going to know what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to recognize their mannerisms and what those are. Mm-hmm. You're going to know what their voice sounds like, what speech patterns they have. You know, do they have specific phrases and words they use that you would just recognize. So they may not have recognized his resurrected body at first, but when they were with him, they knew him.
Mm-hmm.
They recognized the wounds in his hands and feet. You know, here, put your
finger
in my hands and in my side. He still did miracles like appearing in that locked room. The disciples really wanted to see Jesus. But if this had been an imposter, then those who were with him would have discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
They would have figured it out. How else would Peter have been restored after denying Jesus three times? And what about Jesus' family?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the 11 is considered to be Jesus' half-brother.
Yeah.
I think if anybody would have known him, his family would have known him.
Definitely.
So it's not likely that Jesus had a doppelganger that pretended to be him after the crucifixion, and there certainly would have been no imposter dying in Jesus' place.
No.
It doesn't hold water.
It does not hold up. You're so right. Okay, so we have two more theories. Let's talk about the wrong tomb theory.
Exactly. Easily said, the wrong tomb theory suggests that when people went to the grave, they simply went to the wrong one and made up a resurrection story. So Stephanie, I'm going to throw this one back at you. I think you have a greater understanding of why you don't think this holds water, why you think this is false. So why don't you take this
one
over and explain this
one? Well, that is kind of you, but I mean, it really is like, okay, seriously, you think a mother would forget where her child was born? As a mother, there's a special place for our children in our hearts. The Gospels are always sharing how Mary treasured in her heart the things she observed from Jesus. Maybe later in life she would have had trouble finding the grave, but no way she forgets where the grave is on the third day.
I mean, I thought he was here, but where did the soldiers go?
Right. Exactly. The other women that were with her, they would not have forgotten either. Joseph of Arimathea would not have forgotten where his grave was. When the women went back to tell the disciples, they ran to the grave. They knew where it was. The chances of all of them running to the wrong place is not at all great. And the chances of all of them running to the wrong place that's all the same place. That doesn't even make any sense. Even if everyone else messed up, there's no way that his mom got it wrong.
Yeah, surely somebody's going to say, hey, wait, guys, I think this is in the next section over here in the cemetery. I mean,
right. You're right. It just doesn't hold up. So I really think this myth is totally busted. So let's move to the last theory, the spiritual resurrection theory. So this theory suggests that Christ did not really rise from the dead, but rather he's still in the grave, but his disciples come together in Jesus' spirit to become what Paul writes is the body of Christ. So Jesus' resurrection is spiritual, but not physical. So we use the resurrection as a metaphor for how the church continues. I'm interested to hear what you have to say on this one.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about the swoon theory or the impersonation theory or the hallucination theory, there's just a little bit of humor.
Right.
I mean, again, the swoon theory, that's just fun to say. The hallucination theory, we got into some bad mushrooms.
Right.
That's just kind of, I mean, we take it seriously. Yeah. We try to give the evidence against it. But this one, I'm going to suggest, is the most dangerous of all the theories.
Yeah, I agree.
Because no one else but Jesus had ever been resurrected. I mean, you know, we read in the Gospels how there were leaders that believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection.
Right.
But no one had ever experienced. No one had ever seen it before. Mm-hmm. And some people might say, whoa, what about Lazarus?
Yeah.
Lazarus was raised from the grave 4 days, not three, but he died again. And because Lazarus died again, that's why I would say Lazarus was not resurrected. He was resuscitated, just like anyone whose heart stops in surgery and you know, they defibrillate them and the heart starts again.
Yeah.
And the thing is that all people who have been resuscitated will again die at some point. Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and he ascended to heaven and still lives today. This is one of the foundational doctrines that John Wesley wrote for the People Methodists, that we believe that Jesus died but then did take his body again, that he physically rose from the dead.
Yes.
And so in the early church in the New Testament, as we read about that, one of the things we know of is that some people believe that it became a metaphor. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians about, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are the body of Christ. You know, your arm can't say to the leg, you're not a part of me. And so he really gives us that. But I think, you know, this is to me where the Holy Spirit really understands what is being spoken to people who write scripture for us. Because three chapters later, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul goes to great lengths to help us understand that if Jesus does not physically become alive again, our faith is meaningless. We are to be pitied more than any other person. And so if Jesus' resurrection is purely spiritual, if Jesus' resurrection is purely a metaphor, then where is Jesus' body today? Forget the 1 Corinthians 12 stuff, that we are the body of Christ. If Jesus were still in the grave, if he were still dead, his followers would have marked his grave. Again, we've already said they wouldn't have gone to the wrong tomb. They would have declared he is alive.
Yeah.
They would not have died. Of the 11 remaining, we believe that 10 of them were martyred for their faith in very painful, tragic deaths. We don't believe they would have been martyred for something that was just a spiritual idea. That paying for it with their lives was something significant. So if the enemies of Christ want to stop the news of the resurrection, they would have told everyone Jesus is buried here.
Yeah.
The disciples wanted him alive. Everybody else wanted him dead.
Right.
And so if there was a, hey, Jesus is alive, oh, no. Come over here. I can show you the grave. We can roll back the stone. We can show you Jesus' body. They would have put it on display to quiet any of the rumors of resurrection.
Right.
But the enemies of Christ never produced a body. And so the followers of Christ can't take you to the grave where he lies. History says that he is resurrected. Scripture says that he is resurrected.
Yeah.
And I think all the evidence points to the fact that he was alive again. it's a mystery. We don't fully understand it, but it is undeniable that he has risen from the dead.
That is so true. Hallelujah and praise God for that truth. And so, friends, I am excited that we've looked at these theories, these myths about the resurrection. And next week, we're going to be talking about what D.A. referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the importance of the resurrection for all of us as Christians. So I hope you'll tune in next week as we continue in this mini-series of understanding the resurrection. Friends, we are always so glad that you have joined us, and we care for you. We are hopeful that you will come visit us here on site at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. We have services at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50 every Sunday morning, and you can find us online at Facebook Live and YouTube Live at 8:15 and 10:50. We do pray God's richest blessings upon you, and we hope that we'll see you back next week.